A downstate lawmaker reintroduces legislation designed to curb some late-term abortions, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. You can kind of guess the context from the name. And the Women's Ultrasound Right to Know Act, which is self-explanatory. State Senator Bryant Richardson, Republican of Seaford in Sussex, joining us live. Senator, your thoughts, how you will try to posture this in a Democratic-dominated legislature.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on. Thank you for allowing me this time. Both of these bills were introduced last year, but they're introduced late in the session, so there's not an adequate time to debate them. But the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, for example, it just helps our laws to catch up with science. And science shows that at 20 weeks, a child can experience pain. The two forms of abortion at 20 weeks, one is dismemberment, and the other one is to inject a saline solution, which actually burns the skin off the child. In some rare cases, the child, when it's born that way, will survive. There are a few children that are adults today that survived the saline abortion procedure. The other bill never got a hearing in committee, and that's the ultrasound bill. This bill gives women the opportunity to view an ultrasound and to hear the heartbeat of the child before making the decision whether or not she's going to carry the child to term.
Of the two, which do you think realistically has a better chance?
They both should, because of the science, but I think the ultrasound bill has a better chance because it doesn't interfere with a woman's right to choose. It just gives her more information when she's making that choice.
Of course, the counter argument always is it's coercive on the doctors to have to present that information.
Well, doctors should give patients all the information they need to make informed decisions. I don't see where that's should be a problem for doctors. A responsible doctor wants the patient to have all that information.
Of course, as you know, some dance on the eye of a needle and might say, yeah, a doctor should present all the information, but should not be compelled to do so by the state.
Well, if the doctor doesn't want to do it voluntarily, then I think sometimes you just have to interfere and say that this is the right thing to do. And you're doing it on behalf of the woman. I'm not concerned about if the doctor has their feelings hurt. I'm concerned about having the woman having the ability to make an informed decision.
Not that the two are intrinsically linked, although they could be. A massive passage of the Equal Rights Amendment, does that not suggest that the legislature would be inhospitable to both of your proposals?
I would hope not. You know, there's some language in the preamble to the ERA, which kind of spells it out. As a matter of fact, Senator Del Colo worked very hard to make sure that this would not open the door to, you know, putting into the our Constitution in the state of Delaware the right of abortion without any regard to future laws.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. You personally, have you always been opposed to abortion rights?
Probably so. I've always been opposed to seeing the most innocent among us being mistreated, if it's a human or if it's an animal.
Do you think the millennial generation, there's been some polling suggesting it might be more amenable to considering pro-life arguments, that it's a great opportunity or no, because Trump is so identified now with staunchly anti-abortion supporters that to the extent that millennials reject this president and the current political wave, that would prejudice them against pro-life arguments, even if they are initially receptive?
I think the millennials, we have more information available today for the millennials. I think that's why a lot of them tend to be pro-life. You know, when the Roe v. Wade decision was made, it was said at the time that the courts could not determine when life actually begins. Well, science now shows when life begins. It begins with the creation of the first DNA molecule.
Gotcha. Do you consider yourself consistently pro-life? And you know where that is headed in terms of opposition to capital punishment, unnecessary war, that kind of thing. Or not? You think it's apples and oranges, and there's no relation between the two.
I don't see the connection. I tell you what, if it meant be 100% pro-life, if it meant abolishing the death penalty, but also abolishing abortion, I'm on board for that. But it doesn't. You know, what we're doing right now is we're punishing or allowing the destruction of innocent life and saying that someone who's committed a horrendous act of murder, rape, murder, or whatever, that their lives should be spared. And I just don't see that
And then, of course, you have liberal progressive people who are vehemently against the death penalty, but pro-abortion rights, even if some might personally say that they abhor abortion in their own circumstances. Let me ask you something I've asked a lot of lawmakers, and that is, Senator, is there any member of the General Assembly that is staunchly anti-abortion and anti-capital punishment? Or does it end up being the two poles of each party, Republicans general, except for upstate, Republicans being generally anti-abortion, pro-capital punishment, and liberal progressive Democrats, pro-abortion rights, anti-capital punishment?
Mm-hmm. Well, Senator Gary Sinise, who recently retired, was against capital punishment, and he's also a pro-life legislator, but, you know, he's recently retired. He's the only one that I know of off the top of my head.
You have to admit that's a rarity today in politics.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
So, any sense from your position that you can break through the ideological barrier and somehow persuade people, at least on the Ultrasound Right to Know Act, that, as you say, it's just disseminating all the information?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a new crop of legislators that have come in, and I believe that a lot of the new legislators have open minds. I know a lot of them that have, especially from the northern part of the state, have Christian beliefs and belief in the right of individuals, and I just hope this extends to the unborn.
Well, I must admit, you just gave me a follow-up, which I did not anticipate asking you, and that is, when you frame it as Christian, immediately you invite the counter-argument then that you are imposing your theology in the debate, that it would be much better to be able to say, I know some agnostics and atheists who accept the pro-life argument, and that they do not have to derive it from Scripture or the Church.
Right, you can say that. There are atheists for life and others out there, but I've heard and I've spoken to some of the new legislators and understand their heart. And just because, you know, they could be Christians, Jews, agnostics, or atheists, it doesn't matter. But what I'm concerned about is the life issue. It seems like most Christians are on the side of life. Some aren't.
Gotcha. All right, Senator, thank you for your time and taking some of my devil's advocate questions. Thanks so much.
That's fine. Thank you for
having
me.
Appreciate it.